Okay, everyone. Thanks for joining. Good morning. Mashiach and Geula class. We're holding over here in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha. And last week we learned how Avram begins his journey into the land of Eretz Yisrael and the significance of the three mizbeachs that he built and the three promises that Hashem gave him through Parshas Lech Lecha. And now we're holding by the part where the Torah takes a turn, and Avram, the Torah relates there is a hunger in the land, and Avram has to make his way down to Mitzrayim, which is, interestingly, seems to be a turn in the opposite of the opposite direction. Hashem had just loaded Avram Avinu with awesome blessings, with incredible brachos. Hashem told him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Your name is going to spread over the whole world. You're going to become very popular. People are going to follow you. Your teachings are going to spread. All the gevaldige brachos that we spoke about. And Avram listened. He overcame he passed the test, which was difficult for him to uproot at the age that he was. Already, I think, 75 years old. He had already established himself. And now just to leave everything behind and go to an unknown land. And you know he wasn't loved by everyone. And to do all of that was quite a test. And yet Avram is listening. And over here, immediately, the Torah tells us that, bang, Avram is hit with what seems to have gone opposite from what Hashem has told him. And you're dealing with God. So you realize, you know, and not someone who's, you know, we have the questions, we have difficulties when we try to do the right thing and we hope that the blessings will come and we don't always see the blessing happening the way we expected it because we did the right thing, especially if the right thing to do is very hard. But we have to struggle with our Ramuna and have belief that even though it's just a test, it might look this way, but Hashem is really testing us. But we didn't have a direct haftacha from the Eibishter. We didn't have a direct promise. Avram Avinu does have a direct promise from Hashem just now. He has a conversation with God. This journey is going to bring you a lot of good. And he hits a bump in the road, and a serious bump in the road. There's a hunger in the land, and Avram has to go down to Mitzrayim. Obviously, we have to understand this within the context of Jews' Avodah throughout the entire exile in our long service. I mean, as we mentioned earlier, that Avram's Lech Lecha begins really, we learned about this last week, the 2,000 years of Torah, which comes to rectify the world and prepare the world for Mashiach. This is an inevitable and integral part of the preparation of the world for Mashiach, is that we won't always necessarily see the godliness that we are achieving and bringing into the world. At certain times, seems like things are moving in the opposite direction. And a Yid has to have the wisdom and the knowledge and the deep-rooted emuna emanating from his soul, that even if things look bleak or dark or as things are falling apart, they're really, really in MS and truth, we're continuously progressing. So first I'd like to quote for you a medrash stated in the parasha. On the words, Vahi ra'av ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. The medrash brings, Reb Pinchas b'shem Reb Chanan de Tzipoirin. Reb Pinchas, in the name of Reb Chanan of Tzipoirin, says, Pasach, he begins when he darshan, when he came to open up his drush on this Vahi ra'av ba'aretz, there's a hunger in the land. And he says as follows. Oops. Okay. So he says, "Ashrei hagever, that the pasuk says, "Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenuka." Praises the person that God rebukes him. That means, a fortunate is a human being who has a hard time. That's basically what it's saying. And who is this gever that has a hard time that Hashem gives him yisurim? Well, that's Avram Avinu. Hashem gave him Yisurim. Hashem gave him difficulties and challenges. And if the person wants to get angry at God, which possibly sometimes that's the reaction that a person might feel when things are not going exactly the way we expected, and Hashem throws us a curveball in our life. So imbala hakpid, if the person comes to be makpid, well, look into the Torah. Mitairascha salam denu. Go check what the Torah says about the lives of the righteous people, and the most righteous of people, Avram Avinu. Maksiv ba'Avram, what does it say about Avram? Va'avarechecha v'gad lo shemecha, I will bless you, I will make your name great. And such blessings, Hashem blesses him, do what I tell you and it's going to be gevaldik. Given Shayatza, as soon as Avram left, Kafatzal of Ravoin, he's hit by a famine. V'loy kara tagar, he did not sit and vent and get angry and upset and complain against Hashem. V'loy hikpid, he didn't even have a kapeda, he didn't bear a grudge against deep in his heart against Hashem. What then? V'yeded avna mitzvayim alogashav. He has to deal with the situation. There's a crisis. He has to deal with it. He does what he needs to do. And as we're going to see soon, when he does what he needs to do, it doesn't either turn out all so good immediately. Eventually, of course, it did. But immediately, it seems only to get worse and worse. And Vahira of Ba'aras is a hunger in the land. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Pasach. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Darshins. Teref Nasan Liyareyav. There's a pasuk that says that Hashem gives teref. Hashem gives food to those who fear him. Now, we understand the connection of this pasuk over here. It says there's a hunger in the land. So there's nothing to eat. So, but Hashem takes care of those who fear him. So teref Nasan, Hashem provided for Avram. Not in Eretz Canaan, he had to schlep down to Mitzrayim, but in Mitzrayim Hashem helped him. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. The Medrash, however, takes the word teref, and the Medrash translates the word teref as tiruf. Tiruf nasan liyareyav. Confusion. Confusion God gives to those who fear him. God confuses them. Tiruf. Tiruf means he makes them go crazy. Tiruf, mamash throws them for a spin. The Medrash is connecting it to this thing because Hashem promised Avram now he's going to give him all the blessings, and suddenly the basic necessities that he needs, a little bit of food, he doesn't have, and he has to travel down to Mitzrayim. That's a tiruf. That's confusion because you promised me like this, and it didn't happen. But that's the way it is. Ba'olam hazeh, that's the way it is in this world. Avala asad lavoi, when Mashiach comes. Yiskar the Olam, Hashem is going to remember for the world his covenant and his promises. He's going to keep all of his promises. Ma'aksiv b'Avram, the Medrash concludes, what does it say by Avram? V'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. And this is not really what made him too popular. We're going to see soon, actually this was a huge challenge to Avram's popularity, because when Avram came to Mitzrayim, came to the land of Canaan, here he is, the Hebrew, who's rejecting all the idols and all the gods. And he comes to the land of Canaan. Until that time, there was never a hunger in the land. And suddenly, when he walks across the border and he starts making his altars and his mizbeachs and calling out in the name of Hashem, and Avram did it publicly, because that was the whole point, that people should notice. And people they're covering him in the news. They're covering that this Hebrew who rejects all the gods and speaks about this one God who controls everything, and he comes to the land of Israel, and suddenly... Suddenly there's a famine in the land, a ravishing famine in the land. Obviously the gods are angry. And who made all this trouble? This Jew who just arrived over here from wherever. So obviously this was a terrible, terrible setback for Avram's Avodah and doing what he needs to do. So that's what it says. Kivin Shayatza, as soon as he came, he went out. Kafatzal of Ravoin. Ravoin. Herschel. So a hunger, the hunger, what's it called again, came upon him, and the hunger came upon the land. And Avram didn't complain. Okay, this is the Medrash. What we get from here is that doing God's will is not going to be a piece of cake. Doing God's will is going to be fraught with sometimes serious setbacks and challenges. Tzemach Tzedek, in his Sefer Or HaTorah, adds explanation and a deeper understanding into this Medrash. And simply it says in the Medrash that the Medrash is questioning. It says, like, here, God made Hashem, Avram a promise, V'eschol agoy gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. V'agad lo shemecha, I'm going to make your name great. And then Avram hits a bump in the road because he's instead of his popularity, it's working the opposite. And he only has tzaris, and he has to go down to Mitzrayim. So what is the Medrash saying? Well, that's the way Hashem set it up. Difficult and challenging. And eventually brachas will come, ba'olam haba, like in the future world. Now this world is meant to be hard. But how does it fit with Soif Kol Soif? Hashem gave him promises. Hashem didn't promise him his name is going to be great in Gan Eden. Hashem promised him that he's going to be great in this world. So you're telling me that, and if it happens, don't get upset. Don't get upset if you're doing the right thing and you're just getting, getting slapped around after doing the right thing. Why? Because this is the way it is. This is the way it was by Avraham Avinu. But what kind of answer is that? So the Tzemach Tzadik explains, no. That's actually, the hunger in the land is actually Hashem fulfilling that which Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, Vagad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. Because what does it mean, Vagad lo shemecha, I will make your name great? Or Hashem says, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. So what does great mean? Great means, in the ultimate sense of the world, Chazal, we learned about this 2 weeks ago, that Hashem said, when it says, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, it means, and Rashi brings it, it means, Zesha oimidim alekei Avram, that by davening we say that God is the God of Avram. What does it mean that God is the God of Avram? It means that Avram Avinu is a channel. Avram Avinu is a Merkava. He's a chariot. He's a chariot for Hashem. That Avram Avinu becomes a conduit for Havaya, for Gadol. He becomes a conduit, Lagoy Gadol. What does that mean? That who's Gadol? Gadol Hashem Umuhul Omiyoid. Gadol Havaya. Yudke Vavke is called Gadol. It's the infinite dimension of God, or the infinity, God's infinite light. And that Avram Avinu becomes a Merkava, which means he's a funnel and a channel through where the infinite light comes into the world. Which, that itself is an impossibility. Because a creation inherently is finite. And definitely a human being that's living in the physical world. So our narrowness and our limitations are extreme. So for a extremely limited being to be a channel and a conduit for an infinite light and an infinite presence of Hashem, to the point that we become like the body, we become God's body in this world. Mamish, we become His body, just like a soul needs a body to operate. The Jewish people becomes Hashem's guf in this world through where Hashem comes through. So that we, who are finite, a finite body, should become a channel for an infinite God is an impossibility. So Hashem is now actually doing, fulfilling that which He told Avram is going to do. The only way it can happen, is there's one thing it's going to happen through the Avodah of Torah Mitzvahs, ordinary Avodah of Torah Mitzvahs, which is part of this process, so part of this actualization. But really, this itself can't do it. It requires a person to plunge into darkness. It requires for a human being to go, to get into the real, real extreme crevices and cracks and dark places within the world. And dafka over there, can a person unleash the infinite light? Okay, and there's a few explanations to this. It is related to what goes on. Now, this is the week before Shavuos. It's related to the conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu also has with the Malachim. When the Malachim are complaining that Hashem should give the Torah in heaven, what kind of crazy thing is that the Malachim is giving Hashem is giving the Torah to human beings down here in the world? And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, Hashem said to Moshe, answer them. They have a good complaint. And Moshe said to the Malachim, do you have a Yetzahara? Do you have an evil inclination? Were you in Egypt? Do you have jealousy and anger and all the other negative traits? Moshe Rabbeinu lists a whole slew, a whole basket full of all of our negativities and negative things that we so dislike. And Moshe uses that as the answer or the reason why Hashem would give the Torah dafka to the human being and not to the Malachim. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's what makes the human being qualify. That's what makes the human being the candidate for the Torah. And their answer is exactly that. Because the key to the infinitely high is dafka through the infinitely low. And dafka when one reaches into the most farkvetched, into the most oppressed constriction, and in the darkest state, where there is such divine concealment, only over there does one come to this infinite light. And there's two explanations. One explanation is not the Tzemach Tzedek's explanation over here, it's the Rebbe's explanation in the Maimarim Benigeya to Matan Torah. And the Rebbe says that the only way a finite Nivra, a limited finite being, can become a Keli for Ein Sof, for the infinite, is one has to break out of his limitations and his boundaries. And we break out of our limitations and our boundaries dafka when we're faced with excruciating challenges, with extreme hardships. And that causes us, because we have such obstacles and we have such barriers and we have such things that just don't allow us to be who we are, who we want to be, and that a spiritual being serving the Eibishter. But here we have another obstacle. It causes the neshama to fight and to push against these obstacles. And suddenly the neshama raptures with such intense yearning and love to the Eibishter, precisely because it had so many limitations. So the non-stop barrage of negative, distractive thoughts, unholy desires and wants, and then other obstacles that come our way non-stop from inside and from outside, the problems in life. All we want is to be able to learn, do our chitas and davin and b'menucha, without all this interference. And yet we have all this interference, the neshama can't stand it. The Rebbe says that that's the idea of b'chol levavcha, love God with all your heart, which means with all your emotional energy. B'chol nafshecha means with all your being. But then it is b'chol mo'odecha, love God with more than what you have. Love Hashem with all your might, which means mo'od. Mo'od really means infinitely. Love God infinitely. But how can a finite being that has only a finite measure of love, of spiritual juice in his neshama, in his heart, how can a finite being love with an infinite passion, with an infinite love? And the answer is as follows. When the neshama is in heaven, it can't do that. When the neshama is in heaven, it can only love with finite love. It can only love b'chol levavcha or b'chol nafshecha. The neshama comes down into this world in order for it to burst. Literally, like you find it now in LA happening all over, that pipes are bursting and there's a water leak or whatever they call it, flood because of a pipe burst. That's why the neshama came down to this world, to burst. And what causes it to burst? The intense halamis vehestajim, concealments and nisyonis and tests and blockages, to the point the person can't take it anymore and he cries out, and that's an oimik of tshuva, of breaking out of the darkness. And that's b'chol mo'idecha, with all your might. Then the person breaks out of, and it's interesting, the word Adam means man. And you rearrange the letters of Adam, you get the word ma'od. So it's all about the letters, the arrangement of the letters. When the neshama is in heaven, it's an Adam. The neshama is a man. But it's contained in a container. When the neshama comes down into this world, because of all the bilbulim, because of all the distractions, the letters of Adam switch and it becomes ma'od. And ma'od means beyond limitations and beyond boundaries. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Torah can't go to heaven because you, malachim, don't experience this ma'od precisely because you don't have a yetzahara. And you're not a mitzrayim. Your life is not full of angst, anxiety, stresses, and aches, and pains, and setbacks, and obstacles. You don't have this. Because you don't have this, you also don't have the angst that comes from it. So therefore, you can't open yourself up to infinity, to infinite light. Dafka neshamas lamata. And the beautiful thing is, the Rebbe says in the Maimer, is that once Moshe Rabbeinu explains this to them, it says in the Gemara, they all became his friends. And they all gave him gifts, they all gave him presents. The Gemara says that all the malachim gave Moshe Rabbeinu all kinds of stuff, so the question he asked, why suddenly they became his friends? Okay, he answered them. He won the debate. Usually when someone wins a debate against you, you're not so happy, you're not his best friend. Why were they the best friends? Because once Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Jewish people, because of their angst and their difficulty and the b'chol ma'odecha and the mesiras nefesh, and they can break out of limitations, dafka that makes them access the Torah. Once they access the Torah, they become the funnels and the channels to bring the Torah into all worlds, even for the malachim. As it says, Chaverim makshivim lekoylecha. Hayashavas Beganim, those who sit in Gan Eden, referring to the neshamas of Yidden, who study Torah, especially after Mashiach, when we're going to be studying Torah directly from Hashem. Chaverim, the friends, who are the friends, these are the malachim, makshivim, they listen, they're eavesdropping the kailacha. They also get Torah. But they couldn't access it on their own, they get it through us. And that's why they become Moshe's best friends, because they realize that they need the Jewish people and they need us, physical human beings down here in this world, because we're the only ones who can achieve and make this bring the Torah down to the world, which would never have been able to be done without us. This is the so that's one explanation, and that would also explain over here why Avram Avinu has to go through challenge after challenge, because for this idea, for Avram to become Legoy Gadol, a nation that is not just a Jewish people are not just good people, fine people, elevated people. They are a godly people. They're meant to channel the divine into the world. And for people to be a conduit for divinity, you can't do that in a place of light. You can only do that in a place of challenge. Another explanation, which is the one that the Tzemach Tzedek is actually saying over here, is that it's not mitzad, the angst of the soul, but rather... Herschel. The explanation is as follows. It's not because of the challenges and the difficulties of the nefesh, of the neshama, but it's because of the treasures that are buried in the earth itself, in the world itself. And that is that generally we know that our world was initially, when Hashem made the world, Hashem really initially projected His infinite light to create the creation. But as we know, the kelim couldn't handle it. The vessels couldn't handle it, and that's called Olam HaToyu, the world of chaos. And they exploded. And Hashem constructed new vessels, which are broader vessels. Here's the main thing. He contracted His light infinitely, and with a finite energy, so to speak, especially compared to the first energy, this is considered very external, very minimal, and very, very much reduced. He creates all of the creation with a much lesser energy, with a much lesser life flow. And that's the source of all worlds and all of creation and all of existence, all based on finitude, on a finite energy. And that's what we said earlier. Here we have an inherent problem. The world is gevul, and the Eibishter is bli gevul, and now we're stuck. We couldn't handle the first light. So the question is, can we find our way back to that initial light of Toyu, the initial infinite light? Well, they are the debris, the fallen debris, the materials that we might call the toxic materials that have collapsed from that primordial world of Toyu, are found in this world, but as we said earlier, they are toxic. They have fallen down into a klipa diga state. Because as we learned the Mashal and Chassidus, that when something falls, the higher it is, the lower it falls. So it has these shards from that ancient world where the light was infinite, makes its way into our world, and it materializes in things that obscure and block Hashem. In general, it's all a physicality. All physicality has nitzutzei kedusha from Olam HaToyu. And that's why Chassidus explains that when you eat food, it adds nourishment. How can food which comes from an animal or comes from vegetable give life to a human being, where a human being is superior to an animal and a vegetable? And the answer is, the human being is coming from tikkun, which is limited light. The animal and the vegetable comes from tayu, has sparks from tayu. And by the human being extracting these sparks and integrating it into his life, so that too causes an expansion in the human soul, that we should also be able to have that extra energy and vitality. That's bechlal. But when do you really, really, really want to hit a real treasure? When does a real, real treasure of the emes, the most potent, highest light, life force in the world, that comes when we encounter something extremely dark in the world. Extremely dark. In other words, when it's not stam, just the material world that is, if in klali, general, it's concealing Hashem. But that's not enough. When there is something that not only is concealing Hashem, but it's contradicting God, like an esayin, when life is treating you in a situation where you did the godly thing and you tried to do what's right, and then you get slapped in the face by doing what's right, and you get into trouble for doing what's right, and you get into miserable trouble, and it doesn't get better and worse, and you sit there, gewalt, how can this happen? Oh, what this is really is, as it says in the Alter Rebbe explains in Parshas Ach, in Parshas Re'eh, what it says in the pasuk over there, Ki menasa Hashem lekechem eschem, that Hashem is testing you, lodas, if you will, to know if you love Him. And the Alter Rebbe asks a question: does Hashem have to test us to know if we love Him? Hashem knows what's in our heart. He doesn't have to test us. So he explains, no. He says a test is, there is something, a person enters into a zone that the circumstances are extremely blocking Hashem, creating intense confusion, real darkness, and you don't know what to make out of the situation. And what happens, what's really over there is that Hashem is hiding. There's a spark of the infinite light that has fallen and has fallen into a klipa, but inside of it there's an energy of Hashem and a life and a revelation of Hashem. I mean, a power for a potential revelation that is so deep and so high. And when the person doesn't fall for the klipa, but remains steadfast in his emunah, like we see Avram did. When Avram had a hunger in the land. It really, as we said earlier, this turned all the, when he looked at the newspaper that came out that day, what did he see in the headlines? Everybody's saying, the apostate arrived and he brought a hunger into the land. So it became very, very obvious that Avram is that right, but Avram yet did not falter for that. And then he goes down to Mitzrayim and they snatch away his wife. Imagine that happening. He convinced his. Imagine what he feels. Simply, someone is on the phone and didn't put mute. So whoever just joined, if you can please mute yourself. I don't know which number it is, but one of the numbers, so we don't get the background noise. But in any case. In any case, the star six for the mute. Thank you. Okay. So when Avram, imagine the personal feelings. You know, Sarah didn't speak to Hashem. Avram spoke to Hashem directly, but Sarah didn't speak to Hashem. And Avram had to convince Sarah to go along with him, that she should come with him out of Mitzrayim. So she comes along with him, to come out of Haran, because she had her home, she had everything set. She's an older woman already, kind of, and now he schleps her from her place to a new land, you know, in a hostile place. She comes along, she believes him. Then they go down, then there's a hunger in the land. Then they go down to Mitzrayim, and then he has to tell her, say, you're my sister, so just in case they snatch you, I'll be safe. Then they take her away. And imagine what he feels like, how he could have done this to his wife. But yet they had amuna. This was excruciatingly difficult. And yet, they withstood this. They stood with absolute amuna and that Hashem will help, even though they don't see and they don't understand. And they davened and they hoped and they had to be tachan that everything would work out. And then it did work out because they couldn't harm Sarah. And not only that, they came out with a great wealth. And they went on to live happily ever after in a much greater way than they would have ever had. All the bracha came to them then. I mean, not happily ever after. They had tzaras after that as well. But at least this brought them to a much, much, much better state. And increased their popularity, of course. Not only in the land of Canaan, but even in the land of Mitzrayim, which is the most antithetical to God. Even there, everybody knew Ki Yashal Kim Bekarav Ares, that God is the master over the world. So the Kiddush Hashem, which came after a Chilul Hashem, but the end was a Kiddush Hashem. So this inyan. So the Alter Rebbe explains, what does that mean? Ki menasa Hashem alekeichem. Hashem is testing you, lo das, to bring you to a deeper das. Das means connection. To a deeper union. For you to become merged. Das means yichud, unification. To become one with the Eibishter himself. To become an infinite. To become unified with the Ein Sof. That you can become a conduit for him. You can only do that through the Nisayan. Because in that Nisayon lies that spark of Toyu that is going to lead you to the infinite light and to the infinite power. And that's all part of the Lech Lecha. So that's why, that's the oimek of the Medrash. That's what the Medrash is saying. Hashem told Avram Avinu what? On the Pasuk Vahi Rav Ba'ares, there's a hunger on the land. So the Medrash says, Ashrei Agever, praised is the person that God rebukes him, that Hashem gives him Yisurim. And if a person is going to come to have complaints, he should know, learn from the Torah. What does it say by the Torah? Vavarechecha v'agad lo shemecha, I'm going to make you into a great person. Which means great means you're going to be one with the infinite one. For that, there's no other breda, there's no other way for you to get there, only through Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz. Avram is going to have to climb down into the darkest places that conceal into the extreme klippa, all the way that Sarah is going to end up in Paroi, the king of all klippa, in his palace, into the darkest place. And from there, you're going to extract the spark of holiness, which is going to bring you ladas, bring you to a deeper unification with the Eibishter. And that's the meaning, that's the whole idea of all trouble and all servitude and all problems. And that's interesting why he says the Medrash, we mentioned the Medrash earlier, it says in the Medrash, Teref Nasan Liyareyav, that Teref Nasan Liyareyav, that Hashem gives food for those who fear him. The word teref, which we said before, also means, the Medrash associates the word teref, which means food, and the word teref also means the word tiruf. Tiruf means confusion. As we said earlier, Hashem confuses those who fear him. But what's the deeper meaning of it? Because teref, according to Chassidus always explains from the Arizal, that teref is gematria 289. Which is one more than 288, which is the number of sparks of holiness that are in the world. And what it's saying in the Pasuk is that Hashem is taking down Avram in a time of hunger. Hashem is taking him down to Mitzrayim, to a place where it's going to cause a lot of tiruf meaning a lot of questions. But you should know that that's only the chitzainius. Bipnimius, there's the Reish Peches Netzutzen, there's the 288 spark, which is hidden in the word Teref. Teref meaning there is the sparks of holiness. There's Teref means prey. It's like an animal that goes out to hunt and prey. It's food. It's food for the neshama. There's a spark. There's a nitzutz over there that is so deep and so high that the Eibishter is leading those who fear him through an external darkness so that they can reach a higher pnimius digoor and an infinite light that's beli gvul and ein sof. In order to enhance the neshama with that great light. Teref nasan liyareyav. With this, the Rebbe also explains, he doesn't bring specifically the Or HaTorah, but he brings the general idea, this whole concept, why this parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, is called Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means you're constantly marching. Lech Lecha, you're going, Alicha. And what kind of going? Moving forward. You're advancing. And what does it mean for a Jew to advance? For a Jew demands that you're advancing in your mission. You're constantly advancing in your mission and you're fulfilling your purpose for why you were created for. And as a result of that, you reach higher and higher and higher. You go even higher than your Sheirish HaNeshama. You get how you become a Mahalech. You become a mover. You move Ein Sof. Right? And L'chayr, the Rebbe says, that's very nice, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem tells him, Lech Lecha, Avram obeys. He goes to the land of Canaan. He's calling out in the name of Hashem. He's building Mizbeachs. Wonderful. But the moment you get to Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz, as we said earlier, it's a terrible setback. And the Rebbe adds, you can't just say, okay, it was a setback, but it was a nisayon. But Avram withstood the nisayon. So that's part of his aliyah, that he withstood the nisayon. But the Rebbe adds the question. He says, okay, personally for Avram it was a growth. Let's say what we just said from the Ora Torah, that he was able to crack through the klipa and get ladas, to become unified with Hashem, because he was able to break the husk of this dark helam vehester and find Hashem inside of it, and then his unification with Hashem is so much deeper. That's great. But this journey, the Rebbe says, wasn't only about Avram. It was about the world. And he gives the mashal that the Medrash says that when Avram of Avinu was sitting in Mitzrayim, he was like a bottle of perfume. And the owner of the perfume said, it's very nice, it's sitting on the shelf, but no one knows how delicious, what a good fragrance you are. So let's take this perfume and walk around everywhere so that everybody can get a little sniff of this delicious fragrance. So too, Hashem told Avram to journey because everybody should get to know him. He's sitting alone, no one knows him. Spread your light over the world. So the Rebbe says, even if benegeya to Avram Avinu himself, this was an aliyah that he went through in his Sion, but for the world, it was a yerida. Take a look, as we said earlier, the newspapers and the media and everybody reporting on the story says that this Jew comes to the land of Israel and he brings a famine. So it's a chilul Hashem. It's not a kiddush Hashem. It's supposed to be Avram is going on this journey to be a kiddush Hashem. It becomes a chilul Hashem. And then it's just yeridas. Let's take a look at this whole story. There's so many yeridas over here. First of all, the fact that Avram leaves Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Li'aretz. That's already a yerida. It's a descent. Not only to Chutz La'aretz, he goes to Mitzrayim, which is the darkest place in the world. And not only that, it says when Avram came to Mitzrayim, he notices that his wife is beautiful. He says, I know you're beautiful. So the Baal Shem Tov says an amazing thing. That why did it happen that Avram arrived to Mitzrayim that he noticed that she says, Hinano yadaiti, I know that you're beautiful. So Rashi says that he always knew, but now I have to worry about it. But the Baal Shem Tov says that Avram Avinu was a Merkava to the Eibishter. He wasn't living in a world of physicality. His entire life, everything was godly to him. When he saw Sarah, doesn't mean he didn't physically see her. He saw her, but when he saw her beauty, he saw a reflection of the Eibishter's beauty. So through her, he loved Hashem. He didn't see her as anything independent, as something, as an entity that's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. He saw, look at the beauty of God that's reflecting through this gorgeous human being. That's how he saw her. So he never noticed that she as a physical human being is beautiful. He saw her. He was Mali Hispilus of the Abishter's beauty. Then, but when he came to Mitzrayim, because he's coming to such a lowly place, a place of Klipa, and the words of the Baal Shem Tov are so beautiful, it started falling into his head, Machshavos from the Shvira. What does it mean? It began to hit him, these toxic materials from the Shvira Sakelim, from the broken world. What's a broken world? What's a Shvira Sakelim? When things are disconnected from their source. So you start seeing physical beauty for the sake of physical beauty, not for anything higher. So Avram, it affected him a little bit, and he starts noticing, oh, you're a beautiful woman. That shows that Avram fell from his Dveikus in the Eibishter. So that's another Yerida. So we have a spiritual Yerida, Chilul Hashem, that's taking place. Sarah gets taken to Pari's house. That is a terrible Yerida, even though she was saved in the end. But let's take it a step, and he brings, the Tzemach Tzedek says, and I once gave a shir about this, that when Sarah went down to Pari's house, Pari actually got a Yanika from her. That means this is the idea of Galus HaShechina. Sarah is the Shechina, and we know that during the exile of Galus, the ministering angel that we are in exile, the country where the Jewish people are in, they're deriving energy from the Shechina. And it says Paroi was able to get life force because he took Sarah in his palace. Just by having her in the palace. That gave him extra energy. Just like Jews are trapped in the lands of the nations, that makes that nation, that host nation, wealthy and powerful and the whole machar in the world. Every nation that has most of the Jewish people becomes the knacker, because the Shechina is vested in that nation and gives them energy. So this is another horrible Yerida. This is Galus HaShechina. This is like terrible. The whole story is horrible. And how is this all part of Parshas Lech Lecha, which Lech Lecha means to advance? And the Rebbe's answer is, we know the answer, but we have to hear it again and again and again and again and again and again. That the Yerida is Tzairach Aliyah. The descent is for the sake of... In Lechatchila, when you go down into the dark situation, it's in order for the gain that will come out afterwards. And then the descent into the darkness is not even considered a descent. It's part of the ascent. And I give a perfect example for that, being that we're coming to Matan Torah. So we know that when we study Torah, there's two types of Torahs. There's the Talmud, there's the Talmud, of course, there's the Gemara. But in Gemara itself, there's two Gemaras. One was made in Yerushalayim, called Talmud Yerushalmi, and there's one that was made in Bavel, called Talmud Bavli. And the Talmud Yerushalmi was made 100 years before Talmud Bavli. And there are some times when there is an argument between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, And the interesting thing is the halacha is always like the Bavli. And the halacha is not like the Yerushalmi. Even though the Yerushalmi was 100 years earlier. Why do we paskin? Why do we accept the halachic ruling from the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? So the Chassidus says like this, that the difference between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi was that Jerusalem Talmud, being that it was made in Yerushalayim, they were the Chachamim in those days had clarity. The lights were on, were open, and they had clarity. And when they learned Torah, they immediately saw like the MS. They saw the truth. And they were able to immediately, you know, and that's why you look in Talmud Yerushalmi, you don't find a lot of backwards and forwards arguing. It's very upfront. It's maybe, you know, a little bit machlaikas, a little back and forth question answer, but very, very little, and it right away reaches the conclusion. Talmud Bavli, on the other hand, has questions and back and forth and arguments and opinions and back and forth and back and forth. And after two pages of debating with all kinds of contradictions and questions, it reaches its conclusion. And Chassidus, and why? And why is that? Because Talmud Bavli, it says in it's made in Bavel. Bavel means confusion. And the Gemara actually brings a pasuk. It says, "B'machashakim heishivani, in darkness you have placed me, zet Talmud Bavli." Because the Talmud Bavli was already a galus Torah. It was a Torah created from a time when the Jewish mind was clouded and darkened. And therefore, in order to get to any understanding of Torah, you have to work it out from all the obstacles. There is an obstacle. And you have a teretz, and then you have another obstacle, and you have another teretz, and another challenge, and another teretz. But because you have so many challenges, it forces you to go so deep into your thinking in order to come up with the answer to solve all these questions. And guess what happens? Ultimately, when you work it out after all these issues and after all these challenges and difficulties, when you finally work it out, you have reached a much deeper understanding than those who had clarity from the beginning. Like, you always have that in schools. You always have, you know, two types of students. There are the bright boys, the bright kids who get everything immediately. And then there are those that don't have an easy grasp in learning. And in their category, there's also two categories. That those who give up because of that, and they know, you know, and they just leave yeshiva, but that those that are akshanim, stubborn and very determined, and they don't understand, but they fight, and history has proven that the biggest Talmid HaChachamim of the Jewish people were those who were not the brightest in the classrooms, not the brightest kids, but had to burrow through their brains to get to an understanding. And those ended up being like extreme Chachamim. And that's the way it is. From the darkness, you come to a greater light. So, let's understand. Looking at Talmud Bavli, why did the Eibishter do that to the Torah? To put us through such a grind? And the answer is, he wanted us to come to a deeper understanding of his truth, which will only come through the obstacles. So when we paskin like the Bavli, is because we believe that it's truer, it's a deeper understanding than the Yerushalmi, because it was made through all the obstacles. And that is exactly what's going on over here with Parshas Lech Lecha. All the Chilul Hashem that came, and Avram Kantner, as we said earlier, like what's going on? The setback, Sarah being taken away. All of this is Tzairach Aliyah. That later when we come out, we're so much stronger. The Kiddush Hashem that came out after Avram left Mitzrayim and Pari couldn't do anything, it was much greater than the Chilul Hashem that it caused initially. And Dafka, because there was such a negativity initially, which later brought to the recognition, everybody said, wow, you don't mess with the Jewish people. And that's the story of life. And that's the story of Avram Avinu. It's the story of Golus. And that we have to know, and therefore the Rebbe's conclusion is, we have to know, the same as with our Golus, that every single setback we have, every time it looks like it's getting darker, whatever it is, and even if it's our fault, the Rebbe says, even if it's Chas V'Shalom through sins and stuff like that, and we have children sometimes that are giving us challenges, or whatever it is everybody has. In your own life, you find yourself have fallen, and you're not the same person you were maybe a while ago. You don't have the same inspiration, you don't have the same chayos, you don't have the same dedication, or whatever it is that you feel is messy in your life, both in the material and in the spiritual. The Yid has to know that since the Eibishter is the ultimate balabayas of this world, we are constantly advancing. And it's one continuous lech lecha as we grow higher and higher and higher and higher. And when Avram comes up from Mitzrayim, he comes up with the biggest wealth, with Rechush Gadol. And the same is with the Jewish people. And the hardship is part of it. Now, one thing is for sure, that as we are talking already right now, being that we have gone through already all this already, for way too long, it's already time for the Hizgalos of the Eibishter's kingship and the Hizgalos of Melech HaMashiach and all the light that's going to come with it from the darkness, as a result of the darkness. And it will be fulfilled, as we said earlier, Yiskar la'olam b'risoy, Hashem will remember for the world His covenant with everlasting joy and happiness. And I want to wish everybody Kabbalah Satayra b'simcha b'pnimiyas, and only bracha and mazel, and only good things, and a very, very happy Yom Tov, and a geula now.